Record. All right. Should be recording. Okay, so no slides today. We'll just kind of do a quick roundtable on the outstanding items from the agenda. So first up, thank you very much, Zhongling, for putting together the prototype of the JET algorithm. So if you don't mind, I will go ahead and share that so we can take a quick look at it. Okay. So everyone can see my browser, correct?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Yes. So perfect. This is kind of exactly what I was looking for. Essentially, as you set it up right now, Zhongli takes in a vector of momenta, adds them to the typical pseudo or a list of particles with some sort of momenta, adds them both to pseudo jets, and runs fast jet. So easy peasy. Now, so with this, the next step is to actually get it working with an EIC recon. And so this I was wondering if you could chime in on this, Kolya. So if we wanted to add or set it up so that there's an output collection default from EIC recon of jets, what all do we need to add? I assume we're going to need to add some sort of jet object to the typical like EDM for EIC namespace.
I wish I could answer your question, but I don't actually know much about EIC recon.
Okay.
I would suggest you ping David directly and maybe bring it up in a future software meeting.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, we can talk about it tomorrow, and I'll make sure and send them a message on Mattermost.
Yeah. Hi, Derek. I don't know whether this is your question, but you created the EDM for EIC and put into the EDM for EIC directory. You just add to the .yaml file in the EDM for EIC, and it will generate the header file for the EDM EDM for EIC JET automatically. And yeah, so I can send you the now I can send you the file quickly. Wait a minute. I can send you where so it's a single YAML file. You just copied your file into it and everything works. That's I did before for adding some other small structures. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. That's what I was thinking. And like you saw, Xiangling, I put together a straw man for the YAML file. I wasn't sure exactly though where we need to add it or like what the protocol is, if they want to avoid us adding stuff into the EDM for EIC namespace, so on and so forth. All right, perfect. Okay. So I will ping the rest of the devs, and yeah, I can probably put in a pull request to add that to the
Yes.
namespace. All right, cool, perfect. So I will give myself some homework then. So
So is this all well defined? I mean, so I know you had a straw man JET container, but has that been vetted? I mean, like what's in there?
So no, we do need to vet it, but here's the straw man. So for the sake of podness, just kind of keeping it flat, very minimal, just number of constituents, jet area, energy, three momentum, and then energy and three momentum for the constituents represented internally as a vector.
Yeah. For a small change I made here is for the momentum you use the EDM for EIC. I changed it to EDM for Hive because I didn't find the EDM for EIC. So in fact, there is all, the header will all be installed into if you use the EIC container, it will be installed to user local include EDM for EIC and EDM for head. So you can really it will generate the file here. So in fact, a lot of other members will be generated, and it's easier to look at the header because it's not show here.
Okay, I see. Gotcha. Okay, so for the sake of vetting it, Brian, should we just like basically run a quick test with like a standalone macro and see what the output looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have here looks pretty reasonable, at least for a first pass. As functionality increases, we can revisit this. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, constituents, area, energy, momentum. For the vector members, so are these, is there automatically a relationship between the jet and its constituents? So, you know, in a flat tree structure, yeah, so basically, how do I say, okay, this is a jet and I loop through its constituents? Does there have to be like an is a relationship in here, or does this kind of, is it kind of taken care of automatically under the hood?
But it should be taken care of automatically, because basically there will be a vector for every single jet. Let's revisit the algorithm. All right.
Yeah, first the jet give this transitude automatically.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, add two.
So you just, okay. You know, for each jet, you'll basically have a vector of indices of the, you know, if you use reconstructed charged particles or something, it'll tell you the indices of those particles that are associated with the jet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm asking.
Oh. Oh, my bad. Yeah, that is exactly okay. The case.
Okay. I mean, this seems fine. This seems fine as a first stab, and yeah, as long as you know, we just make sure the appropriate people know we're putting this in, I think it's good to go.
All right, perfect. Yeah, so all right. So my homework then, I will make sure and get that pull request in. And then I guess, Zhongling, the next step for the actual algorithm is to start working on the factory. So
what are you doing about, are you recording anything like row? I mean, row is going to be zero probably, but I mean, who knows with noise?
That's a good question. How would we include row? We could have, wrong tab. So basically we could calculate row, and then we'll just basically save a row for every single jet. So it's an eventwise quantity, but you could just tack it on here. And so every jet from that event would have the same value of row. But we could do that.
So sorry, what is a row? Sorry.
Oh, the event energy density, essentially. So
I mean, this is probably a second order thing at this point. Because we still, you know, then we have to have a way to actually calculate that event wise and. You know,
no, I mean, that's a fair point, but I think it bears, it's useful to think now about event-wise qualities,
mm-hmm.
because row might not be the only one, and just tagging it onto the jet class is a bit unintuitive and wasteful. It should rather go somewhere to like some general event-wise quality.
I'm not sure what's in the event header. Right. Like, I
well,
feel like
I mean, oh, again, ahead, I mean, this is you know, this is something we'll have to think more about, I think, because it's, you know, it's not necessarily an event-wise thing in DIS where you have very different activity as a function of eta. You might want to actually associate a density with the jet, you know, like an off-axis cone method.
I see.
Because you definitely, in DIS, you definitely, like, just averaging over eta for a density is going to be problematic.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Okay.
So is that something related to jet energy over jet area?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have jet energy and jet area here.
No. Well, essentially, rho is the background.
It's the energy. It's the energy that falls within your jet that's not associated with the hard scattering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So we could pretty easily add in an off-axis cone calculation to the jet algorithm and basically just store that information here as well.
I mean, you're also, if you try things like covering the entire phase space with ghosts and running a jet finder over it for your rho A calculation or your rho calculation, that is going to be extremely slow.
Yeah, that's very true. Because
especially, yeah.
It's going to get called every single time it makes a jet. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's.
And it's a huge space. I mean, this is like four times star's acceptance. And in star, it's already huge if you do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Off-axis cone would definitely be the way to go.
I mean, how
we can think about what structures we want to put in, but it should also be relatively easy, you know, to modify the YAML description of what a jet is, you know, later on. Again, I think, you know, we can think about it, but, you know, to my mind, like things like, yeah, like background contributions are just second order at this point, but, That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. Just having jets is obviously the first and most important step. I'm just trying to think ahead.
Yeah.
And not block us into something that then becomes cumbersome later.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But yeah, I mean, I honestly think the work on this hasn't been done enough. I mean, we did some of this way back when I put out the experimental jet paper, but fucking dump truck. It's just the ideal way to do this for DIS, I think, still needs some thinking and work. So, you know, saying like, okay, we're going to use the off-axis cone for sure, I don't think that's a given. You know, it's probably, to my mind, the best idea, but, you know, it all needs more work and more study. I think just making sure, again, you know, the structure is, you know, enough to handle it is probably fine at this point.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sorry, I can look at the rho, but I have a question. So we can use ghost to calculate the area, and how can we get the background energy not from the hard collision? How can we separate the hard collision particle and the background particles?
I mean, there are multiple ways to do it, and we could spend probably an hour talking about various versions. I would, at this point, not worry about it too much. If you're interested, I mean, start maybe by reading the Fastjet manual and Brian's paper.
Okay.
Essentially, one way to do it is to cover the entirety of the event with jet finders, and then say you have 13 jets with a certain radius in there, and then you take the energy of the median one of them, which in a DIS event will be zero, which means that this median row is not a method that is very appropriate for this environment, but there are others like the off-axis cones and what have you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that'll be very interesting to explore going forward. So first step, we can start with this, and as we move forward, we can keep exploring what that would actually look like. Okay, so, all right, that's good. And another question I have for, hop back over to this, in general, that I don't think we can answer in here, but we can answer around a bigger discussion with these software people, is connecting this up with the actual simulation output of the detector. So right now, this just simply takes a list of four momenta. Of course, we're going to be working with actual detector elements like tracks, calorimeter clusters, and stuff like that. And so my thinking was, in putting this factory together, it should be flexible enough that you can basically specify, like, okay, is we're going to read in, for instance, the, I don't know, barrel HCAL clusters, and I want you to make jets out of that. The algorithm processes, spits out a collection of jets. And I'm not quite sure what the EIC recon devs would like us to do. Would we need to create a factory for every type of jet associated with, like, there's calorimeter jets, a factory for track jets, a factory for part reconstructed particle jets? Or would it suffice to have a single jet factory that then takes in its input collection as a parameter? Not sure what the answer is. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
Yes, I was doing the forward ECAL now, and the forward ECAL case is each detector has its own factory, and the factory produce a specific structure of data, and all of the calorimeters share a same algorithm. For example, the island clustering algorithm, the cluster merging algorithm, and each factory called the algorithm provide the data structure the algorithm require and call the algorithm. So I'm just thinking doing this way. So the data's the factory, the algorithm will use a unique data structure as input, and the factory prepare the corresponding data structure. But maybe, as you said, maybe the moment, the vector or momenta are not good enough, so we can also add more interface of structure in factory. They share the same algorithm, but they can transform the clustering, the track to the momentum in the algorithm, and the factory then just call different interface in the algorithm, give the track or the cluster directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, so I'm a little unsure about the terminology, I have to say, you know, factory versus algorithm. But it's my understanding that you basically want things to be as, you know, kind of simple as possible in some way. So you have one algorithm that does one thing.
You know, so you have a jet finder algorithm that all it does is take some input, whatever that input is, it will run the jet finder, you know, it'll cluster it and give some output. And then, so what that input is would be factorized into some other thing. Is that what you were saying, kind of saying, John? Was that the idea that you had?
Kind of. And the factory is a specific terminology in the Jenna, because each data structure, each input and each output of data structure corresponding a factory. The core logic of Jenna is it get a data structure from DD4Hip, which is named for some, for example, for the hits in or tracks in DD4Hip, which has a name, and it will automatically call the corresponding factory if the output doesn't exist. So a factory is the factory to make the output. So you specify some output name to Jenna, and Jenna, if it doesn't exist, Jenna will call the factory, and the factory will call the we'll use the corresponding input to make it. And the algorithm is not a specific terminology in Jenna. So it can be implemented in the factory, but if largely shared by a lot of factory, we can make it an independent module. So in short, the factory is just corresponding to the output data structure.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, for what gets written out, you know, to the final output files, you know, I don't know if we want to tie that to something like, you know, so right now we have like a reconstructed charged particles output.
Yeah.
I assume eventually, you know, in the fullness of time, we'll just have a reconstructed particles that will take in, you know, combining information from the calorimeters and the tracker, and, you know, maybe there's some energy flow type operation in there. And then we would just take that object.
Yeah. I agree. Like,
we can put the different functionalities in, but we should think about what we kind of want as the default, the one that, because again, I don't think we can have five different branches for track only jet, HCAL only jet, you know, HCAL plus ECAL, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I can
focus on one that we want to benchmark.
I agree. I completely agree. And like, I think right now we could just do that. So our two action items then would be to make a factory for the chart for reconstructed tracks. So that's going to be our sector level info. And then a factory for the MC particle. Is it? I can't remember the name, the particle level information. My only concern with that is, especially in these early stages, or as we sort of build EPIC up, it would be nice to have the flexibility to look at jets from like any combination of detector elements. So I can imagine that might help with exploring particle flow algorithms and stuff like that. And my question was aimed more at kind of figuring out how would we go about doing that. Is there a common practice for implementing something like that? Or does the functionality for that sort of thing just not exist yet?
Yeah, I think this task is very suitable for Jenna. So we can make a jet for each detector. For example, we make a jet for the track and for the calorimeter And the E tau, the H tau, each one has a factory to make their own data. And then we can have a final data structure, which require the output from the tracking, the E tau, the H tau, and then make a final combination of it. So we have a hierarchy of factories, and the final one will automatically require the lower layer individual output. That I think is suitable for Jenna.
I mean, I would think you want to have the information combined. I mean, for one thing, you will want to do to consider things like hadronic subtraction, hadronic correction.
Yep.
Another thing is what you're talking about is essentially particle flow, right? And I think it makes a lot more sense to treat it as like with the particle flow type algorithm, because you want to be smart about it. You want to use, for example, like energy information from a calorimeter because it's better suited for that, but preserve the better angular resolution of your tracker, those kind of things. And I think people have thought about it for a long time on how to do that right. And we should probably take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Coley, you echoed exactly my worries about this. I mean, when you're just looking at the tracker, fine. You know, you're looking at track only jets, whatever. If you're only going to look at the HCAL, you know, fine, you can do that. It might be good for some tests, I don't know. But once you start combining subsystems, this is highly non-trivial. And, mm-hmm. We can do it in a factory, right? I mean, as Zhongli said, we could request a factory that takes all these inputs. But I mean, it's not just energy flow. I mean, if you have an ECAL and an HCAL in concert, there is some, it's non-trivial to combine that information, because the ECAL has a hadronic interaction length. There will be some response. You need to weight those contributions in a certain way. And it's almost certain that some of that will be done upstream of our jet finder. And so, do we want a module that, we control so that, we can do that to our, to our specifications? Do we just take what, the calorimeter groups, kind of decide is the right correct weighting? And then, there's all the issues, so now you add in tracking. You have to have the track cluster matching. You have to, you have to have the hadronic subtraction from the, from the track. And then, you have to figure out what, components from each detector you're actually going to use. And I haven't even added in PID, because I think we can use PID in lieu of the calorimeters in a lot of spaces to get our energy measurements. so you see this quickly balloons into something, the structure can do it. You can write a factory to do it, but, it becomes extremely non-trivial to actually implement it in a way that makes sense physically.
Mm-hmm.
The software's capable, but to get actual, optimized physics out is incredibly non-trivial. And so maybe the answer is we give ourselves the flexibility to look at these things. And I mean, some of this might be appropriate for even outside of EIC recon, in the EPIC analysis or something like this. But these are questions that we're going to be, this is something we'll be working on probably until after we start taking data. I mean, there's no way all of this gets resolved quickly.
Oh yeah.
we'll be tweaking and optimizing this kind of stuff for a long time. And so again, I mean, my thinking with this was we just start off simple with something like, you know, reconstructed charge particle, you know, track information. And then maybe at, you know, maybe then we do a calorimeter only, and we acknowledge right up front that this is not weighted correctly, et cetera, but it's a way to look at the calorimeter systems using JET and just testing things. But yeah, I think we have to be really careful about our scope. Again, we shouldn't design ourselves into a corner, but we have to be really careful about our scope because this quickly gets very complicated.
That's a very good point. So, okay. I guess in light of all that, we can plan on right now two output jet collections. So that means two factories we need to write. Particle level jets from the Monte Carlo input and reconstructed charge particles. And then once we have that, that should give us enough information to at least calculate jet energy scale, jet energy resolution, and that would probably be an excellent starting point. Okay, so in that case, Zhongling, want to kind of take point on starting to write up those factories?
Could you please remind me which two factories? So now we have one output, we need one factory, so another one is what?
I can't remember the name of the collection specifically, but it would essentially be the generated particles. So either like the event record from Pythia for Pythia studies or for single particles, just whatever the single particle was.
Okay, maybe I can work on the first one first for this one. Yeah.
Oh yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and thanks for the discussion. And I agree that maybe it's very complicated, and maybe we can think about whether combine the factory and algorithm together. So whether if the construction is very complicated, maybe it's not worth to have a separated algorithm, but also maybe we can separate it.
Well, again, I mean, I think you can factorize this stuff quite well. And again, I apologize because you're obviously more in tune with what the software is than I am. But I mean, you can consider an algorithm, let's call it an algorithm, a module that all it does is say, you give me some input, I assume that it's a four vector, a collection of four vectors, and then I run a jet finder and spit out the jet output as defined in this YAML file we discussed earlier in the meeting. That is all that it does. That's the only thing it does. You give it input, it doesn't care what it is, as long as it's four vectors, it spits out a jet. Mm-hmm. And then, so upstream of that, you know, we can think of a bunch of different things to control what we feed into that algorithm, right? So, I mean, you know, we could consider, you know, so right now we have a reconstructed charge particles branch. You know, we can give it that. Fine. We have a Monte Carlo particles branch. We can feed it that, you know, the stable particles from the generator. That's fine. And then later on, we can think of maybe a factory that generates more complicated output, like tracks plus ECAL or HCAL plus ECAL or something like this. And whatever we do, you know, we can make a number of different factories, modules, you know, whatever that that creates some output, which is a four vector that, you know, takes in collections of information from the various subsystems and turns it into four vectors. And then those four vectors get fed into our jet creation module. That's kind of how I have it broken down in my head. And again, I apologize because, you know, I don't know exactly the correct way to phrase that in Jhana terminology, but you basically factorize the jet finding part and the input part. And so once the jet finder is made, it'll just run on anything you give it. And then later on, we can think about how to create the input that we want. And a zeroth order, we can just use the charge particles output that already exists and the Monte Carlo output, which already exists.
Just to chime in here, Iowa State does not give me Zoom Premium, so we probably are going to have to switch Zoom rooms here in a second. So I posted the link to my personal Iowa State Zoom room, and if it kicks us out, we can hop over there. I'll also post it in the in channel.
I can create a meeting